How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I'm your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff. Now, the news did run a while. I mean, you know, usually we start a little later than this, but you know, I guess you know, Adam does good work, so I've got no room to complain. So as far as the city goes, like I said, I don't have any state stories, so we'll just have to omit the state, I do believe. Flock cameras were banned. Flock cameras were banned in Marion City, but there is a decent chance that the mayor vetoes it. I do think that the mayor will probably veto it. I mean, I think that, like I said in the first hour, I mean, I think if the mayor thinks that, you know, I think if the mayor feels like he should veto this, then he should veto this. I mean, I don't see why he shouldn't. I mean, I'm for banning the flock cameras, but if he thinks that it makes Marion a less safe city, which I do believe he does. I mean, he said that they're useful when they help prevent crime. Then I think he should vote. Sorry, not vote. He should veto it. I mean, you know, if he thinks the city's safer with them, then I don't see why he wouldn't. Now that doesn't mean that, you know, they couldn't, I guess, bring back up some different legislation to increase oversight or something along those lines. But I don't think that the legislation in its current state will maintain. I think that it'll probably end up being vetoed, and potentially, I figure there'll still be discussion. I think it probably won't end, but I think that, I mean, like I said previously, I think that, I was surprised that it passed to begin with, but, I think that they could get, you know, potential. I mean, I don't think anybody said that they were against, you know, more increased oversight. Do that thing that I was talking about other cities doing, where they said that, you know, you have like a day to delete any license plate information that's not already on some kind of list. Or alternatively, you could, or not alternative, you could do that and or, I guess, just have like some kind of independent oversight committee. I mean, if you have some kind of independent oversight committee and that, then, I mean, you know, you're in theory, in pretty good shape. So I don't know. There's a lot of compromise, I think, that can be made with the flock cameras. But it doesn't seem like people are into the compromise. Now, I don't know why that is, but I've always been under the assumption that compromise is king when it comes to politics, and if you want to get anything done, you got to be pragmatic, and you got to be willing to work across lines. And it seems like the large majority of people have either forgotten or just decided that was no longer relevant. But I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just not been needed in Ohio, as the Republicans have, you know, the supermajority. But I guess, you know, that is what it is at this point. It could be different come this election cycle, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. There was something else I wanted to add, but I can't recall. But no, I think that the flock cameras I mean, like I said, if you want to veto it, then I think they should just compromise and seek stricter restrictions, or more restrictions, I guess is probably the better way to put that. So, you know, I think that there's certainly things you could do with the flock cameras to make the vote pass through. Like I said, there are people defacing flock cameras, by the way. I do not support defacing the flock cameras or destroying the flock cameras. That is destruction of property and or, you know, defacing property and, you know, vandalism, I suppose, maybe. Things like that. And I do believe that if you destroy one, it's a felony. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's a felony. So, yeah, do not destroy the flock cameras. It's bad for your health. And, yeah. So, with that being said, I don't know if I brought this up last week, but I figured I wanted to bring it up because I think that this is at least important in my eyes. Senator Bill Cassidy from Louisiana said he will vote to confirm Todd Blanche as U.S. Attorney General. Sorry, I guess I... Oh, I see. Okay. Senator Bill Cassidy from Louisiana said he will vote to confirm Todd Blanche to the U.S. Attorney General's office. And then Todd Blanche was Trump's lawyer during the New York hush money trial and the classified documents trials. You know, I don't know. If this isn't cronyism, I genuinely could not tell you what is. I mean, this has got to be, like, textbook cronyism. I mean, I don't know what, I guess, the textbook definition for cronyism would be, but this is, you know, I would assume this is it. You know, he's putting cronies in office. But I don't know, I guess Todd Blanche, I have no faith in Todd Blanche, but I don't have faith in the Trump administration in general. So there's that. I don't know. I just don't think that Todd Blanche will be good for anybody but himself and potentially Donald Trump. But I figured I would just, you know, put that out there. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say, I guess, but I think that it's no good to put a guy who you have been so closely tied with into the U.S. Attorney General's office. You know, at one point, I think during his confirmation hearing, he was asked how long he's known Trump or something like that, and he just said, I actually think he did say, I am his lawyer, but then I think he came back and said, I was his lawyer. Nonetheless, I don't think he meant that he was actively Trump's lawyer. I'm pretty sure that was just a misspeak. I'll give him that one. But I do believe that he's still very much in the business of defending Trump for the Attorney General's job. I think that he had it right the first time, and he is Trump's Trump's lawyer, but not through pay. But nonetheless, you know, there's that. And also, there's concerns that if Todd Blanche gets the Attorney General's job, then the $1.8 billion settlement for the January 6th rioters would be, I guess, no longer held up, and that they'd go through with it despite court orders. Now, I don't know. It's an interesting time right now, because I just figured there'd be some kind of safeguard on, like, before Trump got elected, you know, there was always the talk of, oh, is he going to be a dictator? And I would always say, I don't think I said he can't, but, you know, I said he won't, because... nothing's impossible, I guess. You know, we've seen democratic countries become authoritarian before. But, I just kind of figured that the checks and balances would hold out, and that there was some kind of, like, ultimate thing that would get it, done. But I guess not. I mean, the Congress isn't doing anything. Congress did vote the War Powers Act, and Trump kind of just told him to shove it. I mean, you know, Trump's disobeyed court orders before, and there's nothing happens. So if court orders and the legislative body mean nothing, then and the executive can just kind of do whatever, then I mean, I don't know. There's just not really anything else after. I mean, in theory, what's supposed to happen is that, you know, Trump would be gosh, I can't think of the word. He would be, for some reason the word coming to my head is pardoned, but I know that's not it. It's the exact opposite of pardoned. He'd, be removed from office, anyways, I don't know. For some reason, like I said, can't think of the word, but he would be, tried and, found, you know, guilty, and they would remove him from office, and then I guess J.D. Vance would be president, which interestingly enough, some people think might be worse. Which, I don't know. J.D. Vance is at least a smarter guy than Trump, in my opinion, by far. But, you know, I don't know really where you go with that. I mean, I guess it depends on what you believe J.D. Vance's agenda is. But, you know, nonetheless, there's that. This month, the Department of Labor has released a jobs report showing that the U.S. is down 23,000 jobs. Well, I guess this month. You know, I don't know how many jobs were up or down over the course of the year, but 23,000 jobs in 1 month sounds rough. I mean, I'm no economist, but that's a lot of people. And, you know, I don't know. So, the economy's certainly not doing as well as everybody wants you to believe it's doing. Which, you know, I think that people generally with sense could tell you that. I mean, there's the whole gas being so expensive and groceries being expensive and inflation and the housing prices and, you know, the whole nine as far as the economy. So I'm sure everybody understands the issues with the economy. But, you know, I just thought that was a, I don't know, interesting note, I guess. Because, I don't know, Trump doesn't make a whole lot of sense sometimes. Because he fired the one guy for releasing jobs reports or economic reports from the you know, the Department of Labor. And I guess he just says presenting bad data or something. I don't remember exactly what he said, but basically he just didn't like the data that was being released. So he fired that guy and put a new guy in. But I do believe he's just kind of been in office. So I don't really know how that works. Either Trump just didn't like the other guy, or, you know, Trump fired him because he was releasing information. I don't know. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but, I mean, you know, I think there's a decent chance that this could be not good information. Because, you know, the guy who's currently in charge of the Secretary, or the Department of Labor, was appointed by Trump after Trump fired a guy who didn't like the information that came out of the Department of Labor. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, I think that's not great. So, you know, anyways, nonetheless, there's that. I think about the only department I necessarily have more faith in than others is probably, like, the Pentagon and things like that, because the Pentagon is, you know, military intelligence, and I would hope that the Pentagon is not lying through their teeth to administration officials just to make themselves look good, because that would, you know, be costly. As far as lives and money went. So, you know, I would figure the Pentagon's telling the truth. Now, anybody else who's been fired, by the way, speaking of firing, well, she wasn't fired, but Carolyn Leavitt, she recently stepped down. I'm not 100% sure for why. I didn't read the article. I didn't think it was all that interesting. I'm the press secretary for Donald Trump's got a hard job. So nonetheless, you know, she stepped down, and there's a new press secretary. So let's see how they do. I do believe it's also a woman, which, you know, good on them. So yeah, let's see how the third one does. You know, third time's the charm, as they say. But yeah, so there's that. Another one bites the dust, as it goes. With the Trump administration. Now, we talked about Luigi Mangione a little bit in the first hour, I do believe. As the second hour, we had Mr. Prater on. Luigi Mangione pleads guilty. I don't know if it's Mangione or Mangione, so you're going to have to bear with me on that one. Pleads guilty to federal stalking charges in a plea deal. He still has to deal with the state murder charges, but his lawyers have moved to have the case thrown out of a New York court on double jeopardy because he pled guilty to the murdering of the United Health CEO. They are trying to say that because he pled guilty on the national level, the state level case should be essentially null and void because he's already been punished for it. But the New York prosecutors say that they will, they will seek an appeal if they're given the green light to toss out the case. So I figure that he's probably going to be charged twice. But I think that was good, some good maneuvering by the lawyer there. I'm telling you, lawyers are clever people. I think we need more, not necessarily lawyers. Lawyers are also, you know, not to feed into the whole, I guess, stereotype. But I think there's a lot of like lawyers can be kind of slimy too. I don't know. I guess people will get upset because lawyers defend criminals as it goes. Somebody's got to defend criminals, I suppose. But I think lawyers, if they're like, even if the lawyer is like certain that the person they're defending is guilty, I'm pretty sure they're in their mind, they're just making sure that the person who they're defending is getting a free trial, a fair trial from the court system, because their job is to, that's their job. But the lawyer's job in most people's minds is to get them off the hook, which most lawyers will bend over backwards to do, especially if they're good enough and you pay them enough money. Just like Emile Beauvais and Todd Blanche, both of which are serving with in Trump's administration. So there you go. And Emile Beauvais also was one of Trump's lawyers in, I don't know, one of his like, you know, what, however many felony indictments. So there's that. But I don't know. I think that throwing the throwing out of Luigi's case, I'll just call him Luigi, of Luigi's case, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he's most likely going to get life in prison. I don't know what the punishment for criminal stalking is, but he gave a description and he said that he used a 3D printer to print a gun, and then he posed as a multimillionaire like business investor looking into United Health. And asked for the date and time for the conference, and then he proceeded to, you know, shoot the Mr. CEO in the back of the head, and that I guess was his game plan, and he ran that over in the court. So I don't know. I think the knocking it down to federal stalking is interesting nonetheless. Now that he said it out of his own mouth, he definitely, you know, murdered that man. I mean, cold blood. He shot somebody in the back of the head. I don't know how more premeditated you get than that. Not the shooting in the back of the head, I guess, but he posed as somebody so he could get a time and a place to go find this man to shoot him in the back of the head. That is premeditated, like, to the T. And like I said, I don't know what the charges for federal stalking are, but the judge said to him that basically you're aware you could be facing life in prison, and he just said yes. He knows what's I guess, or he being Luigi knows. Yeah, if the stalking leads to serious bodily injury or death, the penalty increases significantly up to a maximum sentence of life imprisonment. Because there's also, like, base offense, which carries up to 5-year in prison and or there is no or. And financial fines. But this one obviously resulted in death, so we're looking up to a maximum sentence of life in prison. And I figure he'll get life in prison. I don't think they'll give him any leeway. But, you know, who knows? I mean, like we talked about a little bit when we brought him up the first time in the shows with Scott. There's at least some subset of people who believe that he's some kind of hero. He's definitely not a hero. Infamous. I mean, there's even a word for it. Yeah, infamous. He's an infamous guy. I mean, people know who he is. I mean, we also know who, I don't know, like Jesse James is. He's infamous for, you know, the bank robberies and killing a lot of people. So, he's not a good guy, and nobody thinks he's a hero. I think we should think of Luigi the same way. Same thing with Charles Manson. Nobody idolizes Charles Manson. We all think he's a nutcase, because he is. And that's how we should look at Charles Manson. Like, it's one of the same things. Luigi definitely premeditated a murder on the CEO of United Health. He is no hero. He is another crazy murderer guy. He cited back pains as the reason why he killed the United Health CEO. Because, I don't know, I guess the theory is that he went to try to get help from United Health, but they just kind of kept leading him on for years to try to get help, or something like that, but the police said that he was never even a United Health customer, so I don't know where the idea to murder the United Health CEO came from. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just, I think that they're probably going to charge him. I don't see that they're going to give him the double jeopardy thing because he was not charged with murder. I'm sure they don't have to. I wouldn't think if they had to. I mean, I don't know. I guess the lawyer just has to make a good enough argument, I suppose. But I believe that New York will just charge him with murder, just like the federal people. Before he took a plea deal, I suppose. So Luigi is most likely going to be facing life in prison. And if on the very low chance that his, and if on the good chance that his cases do not get thrown out, I almost had it backwards. So on the good chance that his case does not get thrown out in New York, he'll have a federal stalking charge. As well as, most likely, now that he has the, the guilty verdict in the federal level, I'm almost certain they're just going to pin him with murder. I see no reason as to why they wouldn't. That's how the court system works. So, you know, there you go. So there's that. But like I said, that's a good move by some good legal maneuvering by Luigi's lawyer to try to get him off of one of the murder charges. And if it works, you know, that lawyer needs a few million-dollar raises. They could almost be a Trump lawyer. By the way, if you have anything you'd like to add to the conversation, doesn't have to be on anything we've talked about thus far, but if you would like it to be, we can talk about, you know, any of it. The phone number is going to be 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I always like to hear from the audience. Recently, the USS George Washington has been deployed to relieve, the USS Abraham Lincoln, in the Middle East, in the Strait of Hormuz, after there were reports of mental health issues and supply shortages on the USS Lincoln, after being deployed for a record time of 266 days, with the previous record being 206 days during the COVID pandemic in 2020, under which Trump also was in charge. So there's that. Now, when asked about it, Hegseth, the Secretary of War at this point, you know, said that the claims were completely misrepresented. And he also said that, you know, nobody is more proud or cares more about the troops that are over there than he does. And, you know, a whole bunch of stuff like that. And, whatnot. So he gave him praise, which is good, I guess, but I would, I would think that, you know, you could bring him home every now and then. So yeah, after being deployed for almost, well, I guess a little, you know, 100 days under a year, Hegseth said, you know, like I said, the claims were misrepresented, well, quote, completely misrepresented, end quote, which, you know, I would imagine that 266 days in the middle of the ocean, far from home, expending thousands of shells and doing thousands of flights with the same crew and most likely probably roughly the same food, doing the same thing every day. You know, I figure, I don't know, not even just the same thing. It's more like you're doing the same very dangerous thing every day. I mean, you know, so there's that. But nonetheless, when Trump was asked about the USS Lincoln's 8.5 month, 8.5 months at sea, and whether it was he thought it was a too long of a deployment, Trump responded with no, not nearly long enough. So there you go. You know. It's an interesting time sometimes. I don't, you know, when Trump was running for office, I seem to recall him walking through Arlington, I do believe, and he said something like what a bunch of suckers or something like that. And then he obviously said that it was fake news and all that. You know, I don't think it was fake news. I think he definitely believes they're a bunch of suckers because he can just kind of tell them to do whatever and there's not really a whole lot they can do about it unless they believe it's an illegal order, in which case they have to take it up with a superior or something, in which case they're probably going to get in trouble because the superiors are just, you know, following orders. It's a pretty rough situation. Now, they are told they don't have to follow a legal order, so if they believe an order was illegal, I do suggest that you, do not follow illegal orders. And you know, I'd be grateful for that. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Can't blame you for not wanting to be, like, court-martialed or something. I don't know. I think that, that Donald Trump... I don't really know how to put it. I don't know... Does he not have somebody, like, in charge of this war? Like, I would figure that we would have some kind of, like, if not one guy, I would figure we wouldn't put just one guy in charge. I would figure we would have, like, some kind of, like council or something along those lines. Like some kind of committee of, like, you know, naval generals and Air Force generals. And you could bring in some, you know, Army and Marine generals also, because, you know, they're, now the Coast Guard, you can leave the Coast Guard out there. They're just kind of, you know, they're not necessary for this conversation. But, you can gather them all up and have some big conversation about strategy, and, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know how they have this ship 266 days at sea. You know, usually I don't know how long usually deployments are. I could be wrong, but I think they're like 6 months, maybe. I don't know. I know that these ones were deployed in January. Specifically, the Abraham Lincoln deployed in January. And I do believe the article I read said it was supposed to be back in May before its deployment was extended indefinitely due to the occupation of the Strait of Hormuz. So there's that. Yeah. Now, I don't know, you know. So, not even. I guess they were supposed to be gone for you know, like 4 months tops. Like, maybe five. Depending on if it's like, you know, they left January 1st and they're coming back like May 31st. So we'll go 5 months. Why not? But it ended up being 8.5. Nearly double what they were supposed to be deployed for. And they are facing, like I said, mental health issues and supply shortages. You know, Donald Trump, like I said, should probably just put some actual generals in charge of this thing and let them do what they do, and tell Hegseth to stop messing with things. I would figure that the people who have spent their life in the military probably have a pretty good idea about what they should be doing with the military actions. You know, I don't know. generals know the strategy. I figure the only thing you should really be there for, in my mind, is to green light or put a halt to military action with the advice of other generals. But it just doesn't work that way. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just have some kind of like romanticized vision of like how a war room works. But I would figure that you would have people who know what they're talking about advising you on what to do. And I would hope that you are taking the people who you have there to advise you, who know what they're doing. I hope you would take their advice. But I suppose it doesn't always work that way now, does it? So yeah, 266 days deployment, 60-day, beats the last longest record by 60 days. So, there's that. You know, I don't know what Donald Trump knows about it. I was going to say anything. I don't know what he knows about, you know, fighting in the military. The man got some kind of, like, doctor's note so he didn't have to go fight in Vietnam because saying he had bone spurs. You know, I don't even, like, you know... Like, I don't even really know what to say, because, like, Trump just lies through his teeth, and people just believe him. Like, I anything you say, like, I don't know. It's really an interesting thought. But, I mean, Trump, we can go all the way back to before the election again. I mean, the man said that he was going to stop the frivolous military spending and elongated conflicts. Instantly puts us into a war... Not instantly, but you know, pretty fast, puts us into a war with Iran, and, you know. Also, our military capacity, our missiles and whatnot, we have used 80% of our stockpile. That's pretty, not good. You know, we only got 20% of our missiles left. You know, it's been a few months now, but, you know... Iran still had something like, you know, 70 to 75% of their entire military left. So unless we're going to deploy some troops and tanks and, you know, I was going to say the good stuff, but it's more like, you know, the ground forces. I mean, you know, the ships are, you know, far more sophisticated than, you know, troops and guns could ever be. That's just how machines work. Especially big war machines. You know, they're just designed that way. Nonetheless, little tangent there. But nonetheless, I don't see that happening. I don't see us deploying manpower to deal with Iran. I find it very unlikely. Now, I'm no, like war analyst or historian or anything like that. So, you know, I don't know. But I just find it unlikely. And with that being said, we're you know, again, just to add it to the list, we're definitely losing this war. They didn't have the straight now. Sorry, they didn't have the straight before. They have the straight now. Okay, we had a deal with them before. There's no deal with them now. Now we have 20% of our missile capacity. They still have 75% of their military. Like, you know, it just... It's not quite panning out, is it? I mean, yeah... I don't know what they thought was going to happen. I mean, you know, I don't know. I guess he saw what happened with Venezuela and got a little hyped with our military capabilities. But Venezuela is far from Iran. And I do think that probably the only way we could actually win the war, which it did look like we were going to do for a little bit because they kept deploying, you know, groups of like 10,000 troops over there. I figured, that, you know, I mean, there was definitely a military buildup going on over there with manpower, like, you know, ground troops. But they never did anything with it, which, good. Ground troops are, you know, that's bodies. Bodies are no good. We like people, not bodies. So, good news there. But, the only time I was confident that we could win the war, is when we were gonna, is when I thought that there was a chance that we could have some kind of, like, ground invasion. But they, you know, that never happened, which, again, good. And I don't know why we felt the need to bother Iran anyways. We're in a pretty good spot with Iran. I mean, you know, not as good as other countries, obviously, but I think that any of the work that has been done to improve relations with Iran has certainly been undone by Trump and I guess Israel by proxy. But I'm sure I don't think Israel and Iran have had a good relation anyway, so I don't think that made a difference. But we were working on trying to chum it up with Iran at one point. Not, like, be friendly, but we just, you know, we tend to not like hostilities. you know, at least so we say, I don't know. But, you know, there's that, I guess. If you have anything you'd like to say, now would be the time. We only have about 6 minutes left in the broadcast. So, if you have anything you'd like to say, like I said, the phone number would be 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But yeah, so that, I mean, those are all the stories I had. Not a whole lot there, but there was a lot to talk about with each one. Well, not each one, I guess, but two of them, maybe three. So yeah, I mean, as far as the, I mean, I don't know, we could go back through them, I suppose, but I think the Luigi Mangione one is very interesting because, you know, I mean, they found everything in the backpack he was carrying, I'm pretty sure. It's been a while, so, you know, I mean, you know, I don't remember for certain, but they searched his backpack almost immediately and found, you know, incriminating stuff. And they have the security camera footage and, you know, I mean, so I don't know why they wouldn't just, why did they even offer a plea deal? Like, I just don't understand the justice system sometimes. Like, they offered the man a plea deal when I am positive. I mean, like, I mean, I don't know what kind of evidence the defense had, I guess. But I would wager that the defense's evidence was not as good as the prosecutor's evidence. I mean, they had that man perp walked before he even, like, I don't know. He just, it doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense for me to give him a federal stalking charge. Like I said, considering, I mean, what he was, you know, accused of at the time, now, I guess, in theory, found guilty of. So, I don't know. Like I said, I do think that the lawyer is doing good work. As far as working on behalf of Luigi, but I think that the situation in and of itself is, you know, very interesting as far as the justice system goes. I think that we overuse the plea deal system. Now, granted, I understand that if there weren't as many plea deals, the judicial system would probably be very bogged down. But, you know, it just doesn't make a lot of, I mean, use it for, like, non-violent cases, I guess, just to, like, clear up the space for violent crime, when necessary, But I don't know why you would offer a plea. I mean, like I said, he could still face life in prison, and I figure they're probably going to give him life in prison for the federal stalking charges. But, like, I mean, I figure the man should be charged with murder. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, he shot the man in the back of the head. He said so himself. I mean, I don't know what else you want. Now, that was after he took the plea deal, obviously, so he's charged with stalking. But, I don't know. I think New York's going to charge him with murder, like I said. But, you know, I do not think that people should be calling the man a hero by any stretch of the imagination. You know, as it goes, I guess. The world's an interesting place. Like, we talked about how people were like, fascinated with the video of Charlie Kirk being shot. Like, that was everywhere, you know. Like I said, my grandma showed me the video. Like, she literally just said, "Look at this," and showed me a video of a man being shot in the neck. Like, that's how absurd the world has gotten at this point in time. Like, I truly sit back and just think about that. There was a video that circulated on the internet for a long time of Charlie Kirk. You know, forget that it's Charlie Kirk. Of a dude. Just a dude. He, you know, people are all just people. Celebrities are also just people. People are just people. You know, some people are just better known than others. People are just people. He had a family, that whole thing. I do not care how bad you think this guy is. He did not deserve to be shot in the neck. Okay? So, like, I don't know. The world has just become an interesting place. You know how many people I heard talk about how they wish that that bullet that was aimed at Donald Trump would just, like, you know, whatever, like a quarter inch or whatever it was to the right or to the left, so it would have hit Donald Trump in the head? That's terrible. Why are we shooting at people? You shouldn't be shooting at people. I don't understand what's wrong with people anymore. It just seems that that common sense sometimes isn't so common. I mean, you don't shoot people for disagreements, and, you know, it's just, you know. Like I said, different times, people are crazy now, I don't know what else to say. Maybe people have always been this crazy, and now the media is just kind of, you know, now we just know about it, but as far as I'm concerned, the world is nuts now. People went crazy about this video of a dude getting shot in the neck, and, you know, a whole bunch of videos like it, which is certainly no good for the health of humanity, I would think. But, with that being said, it ended off on a high note, right? With that being said, we have about 20 seconds left, so, thanks for listening. You can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at www.wwgh1071.com. At the bottom of the page, there's a Listen Live button. You can listen on the TuneIn app by searching WGH Talk, and it should be labeled just, you know, WGH Talk Marion, Ohio. Don't even need an account, but I thank you all for listening. I hope you all had a good time, and I hope you all have a good night.
Sends in 227, Marla Gibbs.